Hey, everybody. Tonight, Charlie Kirk Show. Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina Mark Robinson responds to his viral video about transgenderism. We get into the movement sweeping the country about schools and a little bit about this incredibly dangerous idea of black supremacy that is popping its head up at Ohio State University. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by typing in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Make sure you are subscribed. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That has got to be your launching off point, your go-to destination. You should just check out tpusa.com every day. Become a donor of Turning Point USA if you can. tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. You can email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, or support the Charlie Kirk Show by going to charliekirk.com/support. Our Young Women's Leadership Summit is coming up at tpusa.com/YWLS. That's tpusa.com/YWLS. Email me directly, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is someone who has gone viral recently for a speech he gave a couple months ago. I've known him for a little while, and he is just terrific. It's Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie, how you doing? I heard that Blue Collar Man by Styx. That's one of my favorite bands of all time. So, yeah.
It's good
Love
stuff.
That.
So you recently have gone viral again for a speech you gave at a church where you said we cannot transcend God's creation. It was all about this transgender issue because that's really what everyone wants to talk about today. Elaborate for our audience.
Well, first off, let me say this. When we're speaking in a church, we're speaking from spiritual issues, not political issues, more or less. And we are not going to hold back when we're talking about those issues. We believe that we have a First Amendment right to express ourselves by our religious faith, and that's exactly what we were doing. Yeah, this whole transgender issue, look, we live in the United States of America, which is a constitutional republic. We're not a theocracy. Nobody has to subscribe to my religion or follow my religious practices. But when we are talking about compelling children to go to school, and then they get to those schools, and we are trying to force these things onto our children, that is an absolute no-go. What I said in that speech still stands, and I stand behind it.
Good for you.
There is no room in our public education system for teaching our children about these things. If parents want to teach their children about these things at home, fine. But it should not be allowed
Amen.
In our classroom.
Well, look, and so we're going to play cut 18, and I'm glad you're standing by it. Other politicians would do some weak, groveling apology. There's nothing to apologize for. I agree completely with all of it. And just so everyone knows, you got your start speaking at like a city council meeting against gun control, if I'm not mistaken, right? It was this super viral video, and now you're the lieutenant governor of North Carolina, which I think is just awesome. Play cut 18.
Yep.
The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth. They're dragging our kids down into the pit of hell trying to teach them that mess in our schools. Tell you like this, that ain't got no place at no school.
Couldn't agree more. Any thoughts?
Well, a lot of people take exceptions with those comments, but again, is our First Amendment right to express ourselves and express our religious opinions? Plus, I reiterate the fact that this does not belong in our schools. Look, Charlie, here's the problem that I have, major problem that I have. We talk about this as a political issue. There are folks who would love to come to that church and other churches and shut me down and not allow me to have my First Amendment right
yes.
to freedom of religion to express myself. Those same people do not have a problem with coming to my school and forcing my children to learn their doctrine. That is not right. And as Christians, we can't stand for it. And to be quite honest with you, as Americans, we can't stand for it.
And look, I just want to encourage you. I know you've been beat up over those remarks, but no, what you're talking about, though, from a theological perspective, is protecting the innocent of children. And that we should never apologize for that, right? And so I want to ask you a question, which is, I noticed you were at a black church, and the response was enthusiastic as you were giving this speech. You know, the religious and theological component aside for a second, do you think that this radical trans agenda is popular in the black community?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I was talking with the president just the other day, with President Trump, the real president. And we were having a conversation about the shifting tide of politics in this nation and his influence on that. And I told him I have three very good friends who have been staunch Democrats the entire time that I've known them. All three of them have now turned over a new leaf. One of those individuals turned away from the Democratic Party over Joe Biden's handling of the withdrawal from Afghanistan. The other two turned away because of this transgender issue, because of these men being allowed to compete against women in sports. It's absolutely outrageous what we have done in that area. And there are many, many people in the black community who stand firmly against those things and understand that it's not right. And I think quite frankly, it's scaring the heck out of Democrats.
Yes. So we're through our political action committee, Turning Point PAC, I'm advising them and I'm telling them we're going to put up billboards that says men aren't women and women aren't men, vote Republican. And just like all throughout black communities across America, it's that simple. I cannot imagine this kind of gender fluidity nonsense, this garbage, is somehow popular in the black community especially. So I want to ask you, in North Carolina, it's a battleground state. President Trump was just there. What are you seeing on the ground? Education is a top issue for a lot of parents. We're starting to see a lot of people move to North Carolina from Northeast states. Are you seeing North Carolina become more of like a 50-50 state, a purple state? What are you seeing on the ground there?
North Carolina is often described as a purple state. And I honestly, it depends on where you're standing in North Carolina, as to what's going to be the prevalent political persuasion. But overall in this state, when you're talking about the issues that we're talking about, most people, I think, lean towards the right. People want discipline in schools. They want indoctrination removed from schools. They want the social agendas removed from schools. They want great economies, of course, and they just want government that has that is endowed with common sense, that's going to carry out the will of the people and do it in a way that is effective. They don't want these far left policies that are destroying other states around the nation. They want things to continue on the track that they're on and continue to get better. And I think more and more people in this state are starting to see that the Republican way is indeed the way.
Amen. So talk about school choice. You've been a big advocate for school choice, especially for lower income families. Do you start to see that being a successful issue?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. We're making inroads to get folks to understand that in order to take back their power in their community, it starts with taking back the power to make sure that their children have that good base, what we call the beginning of the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness begins with a good education, and that's how we get folks to realize they can take their power back. One of the greatest ways, as I said, is to make sure that you hold your children's educational destiny in your hands. It does powerful bureaucracy that knows better than you, so to speak.
Amen.
But you actually hold that destiny. And that is, another winning issue in communities around the state.
Yeah, I see that. And, you know, allowing the money to follow the child. And so,
absolutely.
So, I mean, education used to be an upside down issue for Republicans, right? Education used to be something where Republicans would run away from it, now running towards it. I see you've endorsed, I believe, Ted Budd for Senate. Is that correct?
Yes.
Remaining in this segment, tell us why.
It is. Mr. Budd has emerged as the candidate that we believe can win this race. The Democratic challenger they had that issue settled months ago. She is raising money hand over fist. And we want to go ahead and solidify our support behind him to get him in this general election so that we can blast him past her, because we do not need a committed leftist to be the senator from North Carolina. We need to send a strong constitutional conservative, and Mr. Budd will be that person for us.
So President Trump put forward his endorsement as well a little while ago, and he seems to be first in the polls, and your endorsement means a lot as well. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Public education has gone off the rails. Parents and teachers have had enough. A groundbreaking new documentary, Whose Children Are They?, exposes the indoctrination, anti-American curriculum, critical race theory, sexualization of our children, and more. It's available on SalemNow.com. Whose Children Are They? Features empowered parents, brave teachers, and frontline experts who pull back the curtain, exposing the hidden agenda in America's schools. Audiences are loving Whose Children Are They?, calling it amazing, powerful, and moving. A real wake-up call. Access Whose Children Are They today on SalemNow.com. That is SalemNow.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. With us right now is Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson. So I got to ask, why didn't you run for Senate? So many people were asking you to, but just too soon?
Absolutely, it's too soon. But the bigger reason, Charlie, was this. You know, I understand that we have a lot of issues at the federal level that we have to deal with. But I love North Carolina. North Carolina is home, and we want to defend home. And I think one of the ways we can protect North Carolina, I think one of the ways all of the states can protect itself, protect themselves from the overreaching federal government is by having strong, strong representatives there in the state that are willing to stand up against the pushback against the federal and push back against the federal government. And so we decided we would be most effective by staying right here in the state and continuing to do the work we do directly for North Carolina here in North Carolina.
Talk about some of the ways you're pushing back against the federal government.
Well, you know, one of the major things that we talk about here and in our office, what we have been really consumed with in our office is the issue of education. You know, I don't know the exact, I can't remember the exact numbers, but the federal government only gives us a small portion of our education budget, yet they dictate so much on that level. And, you know, I've never been a fan of the federal government being in the education business. You know, the federal government is prescribed a few things in the Constitution that it should oversee. And I don't believe that the education of children inside the state mm-hmm. should be one of them. So that's one of the ways. I'm also not a big fan of one of the current conversations that's going on, which is Medicaid expansion. Medicaid expansion has been on the table for a number of mm-hmm. years now, and I am not a big fan of it. I think that we have enough intelligent people. We have some brilliant people right here in North Carolina. I think we can bring some heads to the table. And I think instead of North Carolina imitating what other states have done, I think that we can come together and we can innovate on this and we can be leaders on this. And we can come up with a way to provide health care without relying on the federal government. And that is what I would truly like to see in this state.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. And so Biden is now pushing forward a gun grabbing agenda, something that got you originally into the mix of politics. What's your take on that? I mean, it seems that our Second Amendment rights are now being put in jeopardy.
I expected it from the moment he came in office. I know at one point he talked about putting a large tax on an AR-15, which I find particularly disturbing that an individual like him, who for the last 47 years has drawn his paycheck off the backs of the American people, who has never really produced anything except a bunch of heartache for people, that he, as rich as he is and as much as possession that he has, would think that the American people are supposed to allow their tax dollars to provide AR-15s and M1s and other weapons to protect him, but that he should be able to place a tax on people who want to protect their homes, factory workers and truck drivers and teachers. You know, the moment I heard him say that, I already knew he was on the gun crazy left, anti-gun crazy left. But the moment I heard him say that was the moment that I knew that once he got in office, he was going to try something. So this doesn't surprise me at all. And hopefully, and I'm quite sure that these efforts will fail as well as many of the others have.
I pray. Final question here. What's your thought going into November? If things seem good, but we can't get too confident, right? We can't get too Cocky, North Carolina maps are still, have they yet been finalized? I think they have been. I mean, it's always, North Carolina maps are always being sued. It's
like, they have, our races are moving forward. We're not as in as good a spot as we would have been if the Constitution had been followed and the legislature had been allowed to draw the maps like our Constitution says. But here it is. With what's going on the federal level, the debacle that's going on in our White House and our federal administration, and with the good things that Republicans have brought to the table since 2010 here in North Carolina, I believe we're in good shape in North Carolina, and I believe we're going to be in good shape on the federal level because people are really starting to see what folks like me have been saying for years, that Republican principles, conservative principles work, and these leftist ideas fail. So I think we're going to see a boom in November.
We got your back. God bless you. Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, the great state of North Carolina. Love North Carolina. Mark Robinson. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Look, there's so much political pressure out there from the left and the woke mob, and it's from the Democrat Party. Our society has ultimately been controlled by cancel cultural elites. Look, we talk openly on this program about what you need to do. And so I am involved, I am invested personally and also through the Charlie Kirk Show to try to do everything we possibly can to try and push back against these Democrats and their lies. And so, look, you can get a signed picture by President Trump himself. Look, I vetted this. It's terrific. And not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history itself. All you have to do is text the word VICTORY to 55404 today to enter. That's VICTORY to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left. Look, here's what we're really doing, though. We're building a grassroots army to push back to try to win the Senate race in Georgia, try to win the Senate race in Arizona. This is paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and I could tell you this. We have got to retire Chuck Schumer. So text right now to win a signed picture with President Trump, VICTORY, 55404. Take out your phone right now, free of charge, VICTORY, 55404. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. We believe that all people are created equal, made in the image of God. Now, if you say that on a college campus, many people will say that's hate speech. To say that all people are equal is now considered to be white supremacy. Now, what do we mean by all people being equal? Does it mean that all people have equal talents? Of course not. All people are the same height? Of course not. Does it mean that all people are going to have the same outcome? No. Instead, what it means is that we're the same sort of thing. Instead, it means that we are the speaking beings. We all have a mind, body, and soul. We are all human beings. Saying that all people are created equal means that there's equality under the divinity and the transcendence of a creator. All people being equal means equal rights, not equal stuff. Equal right to speech, equal right to defend yourself, equal right to privacy, equal right to self-government, an equal right to vote, an equal right to run for office. Now, this idea of equality of rights is admirable, it's moral, and it's in need of defense. The issue, if you were to find a issue, is that when you have equality of rights and not equality of outcomes, you get to a place where people then will start to look at disparate outcomes and start to blame things that did not translate for those disparate outcomes. Now, example I use all the time on college campuses is one from the great Thomas Sowell. I encourage everyone to read his phenomenal book, Discrimination and Disparities. Now, he talks about how you might have different outcomes and how there might be other things to blame than racism or bigotry for those outcomes. So, for example, if you take a random city, let's take a city like Rapid City, South Dakota, and another city in a different part of the country, like Huntsville, Alabama. So Rapid City, South Dakota, and Huntsville, Alabama. Let's contrast that with Chicago, Illinois, New York, and Seattle. So Chicago, New York, and Seattle are all wealthier than Huntsville and Rapid City. Why? Is it because the people are racist in New York, Chicago, and Seattle? Is it because the people are racist against the people in Huntsville and Rapid City? No, it's actually a much easier thing to understand than that. It's landlocked cities or cities that are in the mountains tend not to be as wealthy as cities that are in ports of entry or cities that are centrally located. Racism has nothing to do with that. Bigotry has nothing to do with that. That's just simple geography. That if you are near a port of entry, you're more likely to be around commerce, where ideas are exchanged. It's easier to do trade with you. And therefore, all the other industries that go with trade, such as accountants and lawyers, they're able then to capitalize on the increased velocity of people. Where Huntsville, Alabama, it's kind of a destination site. It's harder to get to. But if you're coming from Europe, you're going to stop through New York. If you're coming from Asia, you're going to stop through Seattle. And if you're on your way across the beautiful country, you're probably going to stop in Chicago. So New York, Chicago, and Seattle are massive beneficiaries of just simple geography. That's not white supremacy. It's not some colonialist construct. It's landmass. It's dealing in reality. But if you look at the literature on college campuses, they will say that just because you have black people that are poorer than white people, the only explanation could possibly be racism. Now, I do not believe racism is at all an explanation, but if you do and you're convinced that America still has racist elements that are playing into it, will you at least admit that there's 100 or 200 or 300 other potential factors that could play into someone's disparate outcome? How many words is a child hearing at home between the ages of 18 months and 3 years? The amount of words a child hears has a disproportionate impact and effect of whether or not that child will be able to speak at a higher level. Are they having a parent read to them before bed? Do they have two parents in the household? Are they watching 6+ hours of screen time? Are they outside socializing with other children? All of these things play into whether or not a child eventually becoming an adult will go to prison, not go to prison, have a job, not have a job. Now, at Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio, they're putting forward a new type of curriculum. Students are being taught that black people are superior. They are teaching black supremacy. Play cut 24.
I just wanted to say that and make this very clear. The only people who are taught that they are superior to another race are white people. There is no such thing as white inferiority. There will be a protest if somebody said that on this campus, like literally, white people are inferior. And I'm going to say that right now because this is my space to say that. But like, I do believe that black people are superior.
Does believe that black people are superior, believing in black supremacy. Now, of course, the speaker, John Fuller, doesn't sound like a man, but I suppose it is a man. But who are we to assume gender? Is teaching the children at Ohio State University, it's my space to say this, that black people are superior to white people. Now, that's an evil thing to believe that melanin content or race somehow makes you superior to another is exactly the sort of disgusting, evil, bigoted ideology that resulted in tens of millions of people slaughtered in the last 100 years, not to mention the same legacy of racism that these people think that they're trying to undo. But it does go down to Ibram X. Kendi, and it just keeps on coming back to this principle. And Ibram X. Kendi is not very smart, but he knows his audience. He knows that black power activists, they want revenge. Remember, within the lie of liberalism, not leftism, I know that people say, well, you know, I like liberals, not leftists. I get along with liberals, but within a liberal ideology is this deceit, which is we must liberate, that's where liberal comes from, liberate groups from their oppression. Well, if you liberate them from their oppression, okay, I believe the oppression is largely over-exaggerated, misconstrued, and not accurate. But if you do that, then what's to say that those very same groups won't try to seek revenge against the groups that they were told that were oppressing them? That's exactly what's happening with some, not all, black power movements in America. And that's exactly what you see at Ohio State University. So if you are sending your child to Ohio State University, if you know someone that has graduated from Ohio State University, they might get the experience of being taught by John Fuller, who says, quote, I believe, because it's my space to say this, that black people are superior. That's John Fuller from Ohio State University. Now, this has yet to make nationwide news, but it definitely should. Now, in cut 22, it goes to a different direction about education. There is this question as to why are there so many degenerative pedophiles working in public schools and in schools in general? There's been an alarming amount of stories happening that where pedophiles are being arrested at record rates. Play cut 22.
Sex to do so. This has always been the problem with education, is that teachers are inclined, particularly men, because men are predators, to pedophilia. And that's why there were strict community strictures about it. Thank God. So this started to break down when the schools said, you know what, we have to teach the kids about sex. Why? Because what if they don't do it at home? This is...
Why is this happening at such rapid rates? I'll let you all speculate in your own time there. Now, one of the ways we could start to actually fix these issues, one of the ways we can actually structurally fix what we're living through, is to put fathers back into the home. Now, while Larry Hogan, Maryland, New Jersey, are putting forward perverse and backwards sexual education curriculum, Ron DeSantis is doing more than just preventing this. Ron DeSantis is getting to the core of what happens when we have strong fathers in the home. Society repairs itself when there's fathers in the home. Play cut 5.
Now, there's some who say that this is not that important. There was actually an article, a column in the New York Times that said, it was titled, "The Nuclear Family Was a Mistake." And you have other people that kind of poo-poo the idea of father. I just want to be sure, in Florida, we are not going to be following this propaganda. We're going to put programs in place that support fathers and help families stay connected and engaged with each other. And that's why we're here today.
Strong father, strong Florida. Here are some of the numbers. Children living without a father in the home are 47% more likely to live in poverty. What's your governor doing to repair fatherlessness? Ron DeSantis is doing something. 1 in 4 children live in a home without a dad. Mississippi, for example, has the highest number of children living in father-absent homes, 36%, followed by Louisiana and Alabama. That's not a political issue. Those are red states that are living that have fatherlessness crises. Individuals from father-absent homes are 279% more likely to carry guns and deal drugs than peers living with their fathers. Children living with female-headed homes with no spouse present have a poverty rate of 47.6%, over 4 times the rate of children living with married couple homes. Adolescent boys with absent fathers are more likely to engage in delinquency than those with fathers present. I'm reading from fatherhood.org, by the way. 92% of parents in prison are fathers. There are 2 million single father households versus 10 million single mother households in America. Fathers have, because of the beta male movement that has swept America, fathers find no reason to actually stay with the woman that they impregnate. Why we put up with this is beyond me. Children with imprisoned fathers are more likely to have depression and commit suicide. Involved dads rescue mom's parenting stress. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.5 million children, more than 1 in 4, live without a father in the home. 1 in 4 children, and well over 60% of black kids grow up without a stable father in the home. 60%. New Jersey parents outraged at plan for first graders to be given sex education lessons, dubbed pink, blue, and purple, on gender identity, while second graders will learn you can have boy parts but feel like a girl. New sex education guidelines were handed out to New Jersey parents at a meeting in February. A 30-minute lesson called Pink, Blue, and Purple teaches the students to define gender, gender identity, and gender role stereotypes. The curriculum also includes instructions for teachers to tell students that their gender identity is up to them. Part of DailyMail.com I'm reading from, by the way. Part of the lessons plan states, quote, "You might feel like you're a boy even if you have a body parts that some people might say that are girl parts." The materials were reportedly distributed to parents at a February 22nd meeting of Westfield Board of Education. Former Governor Chris Christie and other Republican officials slammed New Jersey Phil Murphy for New Jersey schools planning to teach gender identity to children. So that's interesting that Chris Christie's coming out against it. I have nothing against Chris Christie. I certainly disagree with him on a lot, especially his recent treatise telling people to stop talking about the 2020 election. But I find this interesting for a couple of reasons. If Chris Christie is slamming Phil Murphy, that's a really interesting story on how we can unite some of the more moderate circles of the Republican Party to fight against something awful. If Chris Christie is against it, then that is the whole span of the Republican Party. These new state education guidelines will go into effect in September. So you might ask, what is the reason? Why do they try to hypersexualize these children? Well, some of this is funded by the abortion industry, and the abortion industry, they need let's say, abundant, unrestricted premarital sex to keep on keep the abortion industry going. Unfortunately, it's really sad. Some of this is kind of a, I can't prove this, but it is put forward by the pornography industry. In fact, they are associated with it. There's a, I think the website's called Amaze. Yeah, it is. Okay. It's amaze.org. I don't know if we're going to have time to get all this, but amaze.org. Everyone, if you're a parent, you should check out amaze.org. AMAZE.org. And this, these are quote-unquote child-friendly videos that are pseudo, just like, I don't know the right word to describe it. It's so sick. Amaze.org. These are the ones that are being shown to millions of kids. And there's one that talks about how kids can decide whatever gender you want. You could be any type of person you want. You could be anything you want whenever you want to be it. In fact, one of the videos talks about how, yeah, young people watch pornography all the time, promoting the use of pornography for young people. And so why the children? And this is going to sound really weird. Not going to sound that weird. It's not. It's the same reason why Coca-Cola markets towards your three-year-old. They know that if they can get your five-year-old, let's say, dependent or drinking Coca-Cola, then they're going to have them captured for the rest of their life. If they can get young children to totally change the paradigm of how they view themselves in the world, well, then the pornography industry and the abortion industry and then the pharmaceutical industry, right? So then they could push birth control. They can push contraceptives. There's now a new male birth control bill that they're putting forward, pill that they're putting forward. And then there might be other associative conditions that they have to push forward medication for. Some of these videos are for puberty and transgender youth. My friend is transgender, amaze.org. Virginity, having sex, intimacy, and emotions, viewed by hundreds of thousands of people on amaze.org that is being pushed into schools. If you're like, oh, Charlie, how bad is the sex education? Go watch 10 or 12 of these videos. Just take some time. It's amaze.org. You'll see it. It'll take your breath away. Now, regardless of your opinions on that, some families are really have loose opinions on sexual matters, okay? The point is that they're trying to do it without the parent. That's the bigger point. I remember when I was in middle school, you were not allowed to talk about these issues unless you had a signed waiver from a parent, and the parent could opt that you would go into another room if this stuff was being discussed. And about half of the kids go into another room. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.